when playing historic pieces of music, when playing works that were written many centuries ago, how important is it to perform a piece on the instruments that were available when the piece was first published?
Not initially, I don't think. When kids are learning their instruments early on, piano sonatas, violin sonatas, they just play them on the instruments they have, and that's great. I think as we get older and become more and more inquisitive about musical style, about musical history, then I think it becomes, if you have that kind of mind, you start to think, well, what would it have sounded like on the violin of the day? We initially probably talk about that with the solo Bach sonatas. What would the violin of Bach's day have sounded like? First of all, probably it would have been tuned quite a bit lower, although we're not totally sure about that, but we think so. Secondly, we would have used gut strings, unwound gut strings. The violin itself would have been different. The fingerboard would have been shorter, the neck would have been tipped very differently, and the bass bar inside would have been very different also. These things were all changed in the early part of the 19th century as the music became more and more demanding of large halls and more sustained sound. And as a result of that, the modern violin came into being, the bow as well. The bow started out in the Baroque period very different. It goes to a transitional bow, a classical bow, which I will be using on the recital on the 25th, and then becomes the modern bow, which is only invented by François Tourte in the 1780s, so after most of these sonatas were composed. So I think the interesting thing is, what would the instrument have sounded like, and can we recreate those sounds on the modern instruments? Of course we can, but I think it's very interesting to use the instruments that were in those composers' times just to experiment. What does this feel like? What does it feel like playing the violin without a chin rest, which wasn't invented till the 1820s? That's a very different feeling for one. And I think those are the kind of things that as you get more mature, you tend to experiment with.
And the forte piano has a similar history. Many people will know it and look at it and think it is a harpsichord because it has a similar case, strings, keyboard, but the insides are different. So the forte piano, rather than pluck the string like a harpsichord, now has a hammer that hits the string. The original invention was about 1700, approximately. The instrument that we are using for this concert has a few later developments, and it's from around 1800, although the developments in it mechanically are current from about 1770 to 1800. It has a wooden case like a harpsichord. It has hammers that are covered in leather. And it has no steel frame. And what makes this interesting is the sound is very sweet and pure, but not large. If we compare it to the modern piano, which has a heavy steel frame, the strings are under a higher tension, the hammer's made of felt, and it has a big pedal mechanism to enhance the resonance, we have gone from a plucked string to a very large instrument. The instrument we're playing was a reproduction that was built in 2006 for the University of Missouri, and it is an exact reproduction of an instrument from Vienna made by Walter in about 1800. He was one of the most prolific makers in Vienna at the time and very well known. And we know that Mozart had an instrument of his and loved it. We know that Beethoven had an instrument of his. So it was a top 10 instrument of its time. The maker of this reproduction is an American, Paul McNulty, who now lives in the Czech Republic because he wanted to use the wood, the same wood that Mr. Walter would have used in Vienna in 1800, and in fact, it's the same spruce and black forest walnut on the cabinet that one might have found in a Viennese instrument. Mr. McNulty is in his 60s, and he is a tremendous artist and has a wonderful ear, a musician himself, so he's able to create a really wonderful instrument on the exact specifications of Walter. when we play them in the sonatas that we'll do on the 25th, a listener might notice that the sound seems thin. And I would urge a listener to instead leave their modern piano ears at the door, come in and listen to it on its own terms, because you'll find that the sound actually lasts a long time by comparison. It doesn't drop off quite so much, but it's a very sweet sound. And in fact, the work on this instrument, which I've been doing for about 10 years, has made me rethink the sound of Mozart entirely, which is the beauty of a reproduction or historic instrument. And it together, as we collaborate on these Mozart sonatas, we found all kinds of little trademarks, and we find them in the scores in how he notated note lengths in particular, but also articulations to guide us. And then you try them on the forte piano, which is what we call the historic instrument that we're using. And it guides us to a new sound or a new idea or a new concept that sometimes reshapes the whole piece.
That's MU School of Music piano faculty Janice Wenger. She'll be performing on the forte piano this Sunday at 3 p.m. in the Whitmore Recital Hall, the Fine Arts Building on the MU campus, along with violinist Julie Rosenfeld, both of them performing on period instruments for their All Mozart series. More details available online at music.missouri.edu. We've got music next from Rosenfeld and Wenger on period instruments. It's a second movement from Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart's Sonata for Piano and Violin in B-flat major. The Kerschel 378 is up next on Mizzou Music on Classical 90.5.